hope this worship service will be a blessing, and we hope the rest of the day will be a blessing for you. As we gather here this morning, we just want to thank you for being here. For those that are watching on Facebook Live this morning, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org to print out one of the bulletins and use that as a resource, a tool for our worship this morning. I do want to remind you that next Sunday, we are excited about our spring celebration that will take place next Sunday morning. Our worship service next Sunday will be at 10 a.m., and it will be an outside worship service. And this will be the sole worship service for next Sunday. Those are encouraged to gather up in our upper parking lot for outside worship service. The service will be streamed live on Facebook Live. For those who would rather just sit inside and to listen and watch the service, we'll have the service streamed on our worship screens here in the sanctuary. But that is just the beginning to a wonderful morning of celebration. Following worship service at 10 o'clock, at 11:15, we will have a special prayer garden dedication. Many hands have been involved in making our prayer garden a place of ministry, a place of solitude and reflection. We want to dedicate that to the Lord next Sunday morning at 11:15. So be a part of that as well. That will be right following right after our worship service. And then at 11:45, we are having a picnic on the grounds, a spring picnic. And we want to encourage you to come. For those that have not RSVP'd already, you should have gotten one of those postcards. If you did not see me before you leave today, we've got a couple extra outside as well this morning, but we want to make sure we have an accurate head count of those that will be coming for the time of picnic celebration. So please, RSVP, come. It should be a day of worship, fellowship, food, prayer. We'll also have a bake sale as a part of that that morning as well. That'll go towards helping support our parking lot fund, which are almost, we are nearing really close to reaching our goal. So next Sunday will be a day of celebration. I also want to remind you on Wednesday nights, I'm continuing the Bible study that I've done the last 2 weeks as we look at the Lord's Prayer. You can join me at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live on Wednesday evening. This week we're in session 3. We'll be looking at the third line of the Lord's Prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. We'll be speaking the words of the Lord's Prayer later in worship this morning. And I want you to encourage you to join with me at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live to look at that prayer in a little bit different way. Maybe in a unique way, a way that maybe you've never looked at it before. But I encourage you to join me on Wednesday nights for that time of study. I also want to remind our senior adults about coming up in a couple weeks. We're going on our first London Fellowship trip in over a year. And we're excited about this. Gabe will be leading the group down to Lexington for some wonderful barbecue and some shopping at the downtown shops in Lexington. So don't hesitate to sign up as you leave this morning. Contact the church. We'll put your name on the list. That will be a day of fun, a day of getaway for our senior adults coming up in a couple weeks. Last week, you heard me talk about our end gathering for the month of May. We'll be collecting items for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation. The hospital, they do some wonderful work in helping individuals in our community. And what better day to promote this again than on Mother's Day? We'll be collecting baby items to put in the boxes that they put together and distribute to new moms, moms that are in need. And we know this is an important ministry that we can be a part of. You saw those that walked in this morning, saw items already starting to collect. We're going to collect those for the entire month of May. So you got a couple weeks. Pick up some items at the grocery store when you're there next. And pick up some of those items. Those items are listed in your bulletin to let you know what are specific items that they need. Last but not least, on this Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. here at First Baptist Church of Elon, upstairs at our shelter, we will be doing our exam reading day pit stop. Upstairs in the shelter. Thank you for those who have donated items already. It's not too late, though. If you want to bring items by to the church tomorrow, I encourage you to do so. We'll be remembering our Elon students, our college students, as they take those final exams. It is a very stressful time, and we want to wish them well. This is one way we want to reach out to our community. So 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and you can actually come and be a part of that, help hand out those items, or just bring some of the items by for this reading day collection. So the wonderful opportunities coming up in the next couple weeks of ministry, and God is going to use us in special ways, not just then, but today as well. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship our Savior as we sing Grace to God this morning.
this morning is faith of our mothers, which you'll recognize the tune. Faith of our mothers is faith of our fathers, except better. So we invite you all to rise, sing with us as we sing Faith of Our Mothers.
Those who have served as mothers in many ways, nourishing us and guiding us as we grow to be who you are. As we have been loved by them, so too we are loved by you. Join with us in this day of celebration as we rejoice in being loved. As you grant us peace in Christ Jesus our Lord, so we come to worship this morning in his holy name. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today is a day of celebration, and I hope that our mothers that are gathered in our place today, and those that are watching at home this morning, have already been celebrated already. Hopefully the celebration continues the rest of the day. And as I was thinking about this day, Mother's Day, and thinking about just in my individual life, all the women who've had fingerprints on my life, my mother, my grandmothers, now my wife, and the teachers, and the Sunday school teachers, and the doctors, and the nurses, the list just keeps growing. It goes through my mind, and it's amazing. Oftentimes when we think of mothers, we think that first thought is when that mother is holding the baby in their arms. But I recognize that motherhood doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop when your children are growing, when your children grow out, move out of the house. It continues on and on and on. And it's just not just the mothers and the grandmothers by blood, but also the women who have had significant impact, those who have been mother-like figures to so many. As you think through your mind, think about all the women who've had significant impact in your life today. As we think about that this morning, I'm going to read a litany I came across by Pastor Amy Young. And it speaks to the motherhood in all the different forms, in all the different stages of life. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every single day and wear the badge of food stamps, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or just running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with hopes and prides, fears, and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you this day. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we are with you. We sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. Now listen to this line. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you, and we thank you. This morning, we're going to have a prayer for our mothers, but at this time, I'm going to ask all the ladies in our congregation to stand. Please stand. All the ladies, don't hesitate. Thank you for being mothers, grandmothers, mother-like figures. Thank you for the impact that you have had on the world. Not just this day, not just in the past, but also in the future. Thank you. We honor you today. Gay is passing out a gift on behalf of First Baptist Elon, and we want to say thank you. And as she does that, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, a child is... adoptive parents, caregivers, relatives, and a church community. Together, we undertake the raising of children, and together, we ask for help, Lord. Give our mothers and motherly figures the endurance as they care for babies, putting their needs ahead of their own, caring through the bone weariness of sleepless nights. Give them patience as they care for toddlers, guiding and correcting with warm voices and hearts as their young ones learn language. Help them to delight in the joy of discovery, seeing the world through the eyes, through our eyes. Help them to become like children. As our children grow and mature, give them the wisdom to know when to hold on and when to let go, when to discipline and when to comfort. In caring for children, Father, we admit that sometimes we have made mistakes. We have put our own needs ahead of theirs. We have not always been kind. We have not always been the kind of parent we would like to be, that you have called us to be. Forgive us this day and help us to be people who apologize, modeling repentance for our children. Today, we also pray for parents and children who are grieving because they have lost each other, whether thought through death or estrangement. Thank you that you are a great caregiver, Father, loving us with a love deeper and stronger than anything we could ever imagine. Thank you this day for the mothers in our presence and the mothers in our distance, a true gift and a true blessing from you. We lift this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mothers, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As Kate continues to pass those out, our song of praise this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. You know, for the other, those of you that are the ladies in our congregation, you just sat down, and now I'm asking you to stand back up and sing again, so I apologize for that. But gentlemen, this time we can join them. We can all stand and sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
thank the gentlemen for our music special today. As I was sitting there and listening to the words, and I listened to the words outside, and I heard them practice this week. So I sat there and was listening. I just came to my mind, how many times do our mothers or women folk in our lives go to their knees and lift up prayer for us? That's the power of that song. That's the power of faith. That's the power of spreading our faith. So at this time, before we approach the scripture passage today and the sermon, let's go to the Lord in prayer once again and pray just like those many mothers did and continue to do and will continue to do. Let's pray. Father, prayer is a powerful gift. It is a gift that you have blessed us with. And I can't imagine how many mothers, grandmothers, women folk in my life have gone to their knees lifting my name up in prayer. Father, the same is true for all those that are sitting here in our sanctuary today, all those that are sitting at home this morning watching. Many of these individuals, these ladies, are sitting in our midst and have been those individuals on their knees. And Father, for that we give thanks. We give thanks for the gift of prayer. We give thanks this morning, this day, and every other day for the blessings that mother-like figures have been in our lives. But Father, today, in this moment, we give you thanks for prayer, a powerful tool that many women have used, continue to use, and will use until you come again. Thank you. Thank you for giving us that gift. Thank you for the women in our lives who have made a difference. Thank you for your continued blessing this day. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who loves with all his heart, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, I want to say thank you for joining us for worship this morning here at First Baptist Elon. We really weren't sure how many would come for Mother's Day this year. Mother's Day is usually a pretty packed house here at First Baptist Elon, pre-COVID. And I really wasn't sure because I know this provides the opportunity for people to travel and spend time with their families. So it was a blessing to see walk down the hallways this morning. It was a blessing to see the cars that parked in the parking lot this morning. And we just want to say Happy Mother's Day because it is truly a blessing. It's a reason that I'm standing where I am today, that we gather where we are today because of the women in our lives. Most of us could probably agree with the statement, I would not be where I am today without my mother. Each of us has been shaped by motherly figures in our lives, whether they're related by blood or not. And the impact that they have had on our lives is tremendous. And that's an understatement. Tremendous. As I recall my days being raised by my mother, as I look at how my wife, Jennifer, raises our two sons and manages to juggle the tremendous responsibilities that occur day in and day out, I am simply amazed. The many different hats that a mother or a mother-like figure wears on any given day, on a daily basis. Now, while I was outside this morning, I wanted to give a special shout out to Judy Tickle, who wears a hat every day, every Sunday to worship, and she had multiple hats with her because she had looked at the bulletin earlier and seen what my sermon title was. And that's kind of why I wanted to, not because of Judy, but I kind of wanted to focus on this idea that mothers and motherly figures carry so many different responsibilities. And because of that, I wanted to look at one woman in particular from Scripture. But before I get to our Scripture passage this morning, I was reminded of a story as I was kind of preparing for the sermon this week. It was a story I heard years ago, and I don't remember where it was. It was on the radio, or it may have been in another sermon. And I said, I've got to find that story. So I did a little bit of research, and I was able to put my hands on a story. It was an interview, actually. It was by a woman by the name of Barbara Weiser. She is a mother, Yeshua is a mother from Kewanee, and I don't know if I pronounced that name right, Kewanee, Illinois. Now, Barbara shared this story about a conversation that she had with her six-year-old Abby at one point during the day. Abby comes to her and says, "Mom, there are five things I want to be when I grow up. Five." She nodded her head and said, "Okay. What are they? What are the five things you want to be?" She first said, "I'm going to be a model." She said, then she said, "But then I'm going to be a movie star." But then she said, "I'm going to be a traveler, a world traveler who travels all over the globe." But then she said, "I'm not done yet. And then I'm going to be an artist." And then she said, "Last but not least, I'm going to be a singer." Five things that little Abby wanted to be when she grew up. Barbara sat there for a second. She said, "What about being a mom? What about being a mother?" Her six-year-old daughter paused for a few moments, and she thought, and she thought, and she said, "I don't know. I think that's too hard for me." The story doesn't end there. Later that same day, Abby came back to her mother, Barbara, and said, "Mom, it's too bad that you didn't get to become anything when you grew up." "Not done yet." Barbara replied, "But I am somebody. I'm your mom. If I weren't a mom, then you wouldn't be here right now dreaming of all the things that you want to be someday." Barbara goes on to finish in this interview, "My youngest daughter was very perceptive about one vital thing. Motherhood is not easy." Motherhood is not easy. When I was reflecting on those words, I immediately was reminded of a woman in Scripture whose life was not easy, but whose life in which she juggled so many different hats and she did it well. This morning I want to recognize and commend all of our mothers, grandmothers, mother-like figures here for the many hats that you wear on a given day. One single day, you're wearing so many different hats. As Abby said, the six-year-old, it is not easy. However, this morning, I want to single out one. Focus on one of the most important hats that all mothers and motherly figures, but actually all of us, have the responsibility to wear. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 15 this morning. The words will be on the screen behind me, but if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there to this passage of Scripture. We're turning to Acts, which is the story, a history story of the early church, how the early Christian church developed. So as you turn, let me set the scene of where we are in this history of the church. Now, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's hoping to take him and his fellow travelers with him. They were hoping to go across to Asia Minor and eventually into Europe. But Paul had specific plans about where he should go, just like Paul did. He planned out everything, but the Holy Spirit kept getting in the way. How oftentimes do we think about that? The Holy Spirit really gets in our way sometimes. He had a plan, but the Holy Spirit got in his way. Paul thought they should travel one way, and the Spirit said, "No, no, no, no. You're going to go a different way." Eventually, he has a vision that leads him to meeting our focal character of this day, which is the individual of Lydia. Reading Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 15. This morning, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she persuaded us. Now, just from reading these few verses, we get a little glimpse of one woman in Scripture who has a powerful testimony. And much research has been gone into the story of Lydia, where we can find about who she was and what impact that she had. And I want to reveal a little bit of that to you this morning. But the very first thing that we need to recognize in this story is Lydia was a multi-talented woman. A woman that wore many different hats, not just along the riverbank, but in Jewish and Roman society. If it had not been for the Spirit stopping Paul from going the direction he desired to go, we may never have met this woman. We may never have her name written in the annals of Scripture today. Paul and his companions were ready to go travel towards the coast of Asia and then on to Bithynia, which made complete sense. If you look at the biblical map, it makes sense of what Paul was wanting to do. But the Spirit stopped him. Why would the Spirit stop him from preaching? Why would the Spirit direct him in a different way? What is going on here? And I think part of the answer is this. God wanted to introduce us to Lydia. Paul needed to be introduced to Lydia. A man from Macedonia appears in a dream, urging him to come to the Macedonian community. As they arrive in the region, they immediately head for Philippi. That's the New York City of Macedonia. So they head to the biggest city. And as they arrive there, they're thinking, this must be where God intended us to go. Or was it? See, Paul and his companions, if they followed the same ministry path they had done many, many times before, is as they arrived into a city, they would immediately go to the place of worship. They would say, "Where is the synagogue?" And Paul and his compatriots probably said the same thing when they arrived in Philippi. But the answer was, well, we don't know what the answer is, but we are told from history what the answer is. You see, in that time, right before Paul goes on his second missionary journey, Emperor Claudius of the Roman Empire had expelled all the Jews from Rome. Kicked them out of the city. "We don't want to have anything to do with you," and kicked them out. Now, Philippi in Macedonia, where Paul and his people were, was a Roman city. It was a Roman city, and they held on to that title with prestige. "We don't want to be dismissed as any other city. We're a Roman city." They prided themselves on that title. And for most believe, they probably drove all the Jewish people in Philippi out of the city as well, just as the emperor had done. So at this point, you can imagine that Paul is saying to himself, "Why in the world would we be coming here? Why is this where the Spirit wanted us to go?" The Sabbath comes. And they decide, Paul and his compatriots decide to head outside the city. Maybe the Jewish collection of people would be outside the city. So they head about 1 mile outside the city to the banks of the Ganges River. They imagine that if the Jewish followers were still meeting, it definitely would be outside the town. But they didn't find a place of worship there. Let me take that back. They didn't find a synagogue there. At that time, you had to have 10 male Jewish individuals to have a synagogue. And so what this story tells us is that there weren't 10 Jewish men around to have an official place of worship. But that didn't stop worship. That didn't stop the ministry that was going on. There were women there. There were Jewish Sabbath day, they came to meet, pray, and to live out their faith. It would have been easy for them to have given up, saying, you know what, we're never going to have a place to worship at anymore. So we're going to give up. I'm sure they had faced persecution because of their Jewish faith before. It would have been easy to give up. But yet, every Sabbath day, they went to the river. Every Sabbath day, they went to worship God. And that's where we find and meet Lydia. I said Lydia was a multi-talented woman, and that's an understatement. Just like I said earlier about all the things mothers do, and that's an understatement, Lydia's the same thing. She was a multi-talented woman. She wore many hats, literally and figuratively. A native from the town of Thyatira, Lydia had been driven to the city of Philippi because of her dealings in business. She was a businesswoman. What we can assume from history and Roman heritage of that time is this. Probably Lydia was married, and her husband had started this business that Lydia helped with and assisted with and got to know. Then at some point, Lydia was probably widowed. And when she was widowed, someone had to take over the business. And guess who did? It was Lydia. Lydia knew the business inside and out, and she took over. After his passing, Lydia had to take over because she had to provide for her household. She was successful. She just wasn't just a businesswoman. She was a successful businesswoman. You see, purple cloth was the color of the rich back in biblical times. Now, we can go to any clothing store right now. You can go to Belk, JCPenney, Target, whatever. You can find clothes of every single color out there. It wouldn't be any different from wearing just a purple shirt. However, back in biblical time, purple was the color of the rich. Why is that? Because just to do a few yards of fabric in purple, what an individual would have to do was be collecting a shellfish that were located off the coast of this region, this European and this Asian region. It would take hundreds of shellfish to be crunched up and mashed up to make something this long in purple. Hundreds. To use the analogy upstairs about our stage, imagine this stage. Imagine how many shellfish would have had to been mashed to make this spot purple. Thousands. Thousands upon thousands. But Lydia was successful. She was successful in the business that she was leading. This was an expensive business, one that Lydia was gifted with. But that's just one hat. That's just one hat, because she also wore another hat. Lydia was esteemed in society. She was not one of those that looked down upon a patriarchal society. She had raised herself up to walk in equality. Not anyone, especially a woman, could sell fine linens on basically the Rodeo Drive of Macedonia. Not anybody could do that, but Lydia could. She did it well. She was powerful. She was rich. She was honored in society. She was one of the who's who in Macedonia. But that's not the only other hat she wore. You see, Lydia wore another hat as a caretaker of her home. This world, the world that this home that she took care of, probably included children that she and her husband had before, the servants who would upkeep her home, and the land and the property in which she lived. She had to meet the basic needs for many, not just herself, but for many. Food, shelter, clothing, all of those things were met by this woman. While Roman society was designed to assist and benefit the patriarch, Lydia was making it on her own. She was a provider. She was a caretaker. She was a businesswoman. She was an esteemed citizen of the city. Many hats Lydia wore. But I told you we're going to focus on one. We're going to focus on one that I haven't yet mentioned. Because there was a hat that she wore that made her extra special. And that hat was a worshiper of God. What was most important? most important to her was what she learned on the banks of that river that day. What she learned outside the city, away from the hustle and bustle of the crowds, away from the rich clients, the bankers, the business meetings, away from everything that Roman society says what makes you, is where she found her peace. If Lydia were telling her story today, this is the hat that she found most important. This is the hat that she would wear every single day. This is the hat that she would want us to know about. On the banks of the Ganges River, she learned a story of love. She learned a story of power, of riches, of blessing, like she had never heard before. She learned of all that God had done for his people in the Old Testament. This picture became clearer when Paul and his friends showed up and they started telling her the fulfillment of this love that she had been focusing on for so long was found in Christ Jesus. And these are the words that Scripture says. The Lord opened up her heart to pay attention to what Paul said. As we think about the women in our lives today, how many can we often say, it's probably most, can we say, the Lord opened up her heart to me. The Lord opened up her heart. She heard of how in love and obedience to his heavenly Father, Jesus went to the cross and he died. And he was paid for all the sins that she had committed and that anybody else had committed. For all the sins of the world. She heard about his rising, his ascension, and his promise to come back. This is what quickly became the most important hat that she wore. Of all the accolades she could have possibly held on to, if everything that she could have grasped and put in front of people, that's not what Lydia would have done. She instead would have put this hat, this badge of honor, this statement of courage, this statement of faith. God washed her with the water that day when she was baptized, and she was washed with the word. God placed his name on her heart. She shared this with not just those that were around the river that day. She went home and shared it with the entire household. She shared it in the marketplace. She shared it everywhere she went. She was baptized. She could serve God. She could spread the truth. This was the most important hat that Lydia wore. So my question to you today is this. And this is not just for mothers or motherly figures. This is not just for the women. This is for the men too. We need in this world a lot more Lydias. Now I'm not saying go name your next child, Lydia. That's not what I'm talking about. We need a lot more Lydias in this world. When I think about all the pressures and responsibilities that mothers today hold on to and have to handle, raising children, taking care of the household, climbing the corporate ladder, taking care of aging parents, teaching, being a repair person, a nurse, a daughter, a wife, a worker, a counselor, and the list goes on and on and on, and carrying the weight of all those hats can be burdensome. If that's where you are right now, where you're carrying so much burden and weight upon your shoulders, I encourage you to do this. Remember Lydia. Remember where we were introduced to Lydia. She was outside the city. She was down by the river. She was praying and worshiping to God. Out of all those hats that Lydia could have held on to, she recognized the most important one. Not the purple cloth exporter, not the socialite, not the best or the brightest. It was the hat that said, baptized child of God. What history tells us about Lydia is this. Lydia is the ministry? Well, guess what? Part of the reason is that is because of Lydia, of what she did as that first Christian. So this morning, I want to encourage you, ladies, men, I want to encourage you to take off some of those hats. Take off some of those burdens that you carry. But don't take off the one that is the most important, and that is a follower of God. Be a Lydia. Be a Lydia today. Thank you for being Lydias in the past. Be a Lydia in the future, and see how the world might change through you. Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, we remember all the women in our lives who've had significant impact. We are reminded about a woman in the midst of Scripture that we only find for a few verses in Acts, but a woman who was shaped and molded by you. Baptized in that river that day, she was changed. She changed her household. She changed the community. She changed the world. But it all begins with wearing that one hat, the one that calls themselves, herself, us, each one of us, a follower of Christ. Father, wherever we are walking today, whatever part of our life we are in, towards the beginning of the journey, middle of the journey, end of the journey, wherever we are today, may we be reminded that if we need a role model, let's turn to Lydia and see how she lived her life and how she changed the world. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who changed Lydia's life and changed ours as well. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning on this day of celebration, I encourage us to sing this last closing hymn with celebration. Let's lift up praise to God. Let wherever you are right now, whatever part of the journey that you are on, if today's a day that for the very first time you recognize, you know what? I never saw God the way Lydia has, but today I do. If that's where you are, make a commitment today. I'll be down front in front of the altar for those that are watching at home. If that's a decision, call me. Let's talk about it this week. Or if you're looking for a group of committed believers, like those women that gathered along the river that day, First Baptist Church of Elon is a home where we'll help nurture you, nourish you, and that we'll work alongside of you as you make the difference. I'm right here. Come see me at the end of the altar. Or if just today you're carrying a lot of burdens, if you're carrying so much burden that you're just overwhelmed, wherever you are, take those burdens and hats off. Or come to the altar and leave those hats right here on the altar, because God's ready to take them. And what he'll take and what he'll leave for you is this: the one that says, follower of Christ. This is God's altar. If that's your call today, don't hesitate to come forward. Whatever it is, wherever you are, let's make a difference. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Lord Jesus, your heart.
those women who've had an impact. Thank them for their ministry and their continued ministry. As we go into the world, we face many Lydias. Lift up thanks for them. And as you go, become a Lydia. Become a woman. Become a man. Become a follower of Christ who makes a difference in this world. Go in peace on this Mother's Day. And once again, I say, Happy Mother's Day.